I wonder what the great church leaders were thinking when they created the lectionary, because when they did, they skipped over some of these stories that we've been looking at these last few weeks. Neither is the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho, nor today's story of Daniel and the lion's den made it into the lectionary. And outside of this sermon series, I don't think I've ever preached on them. And I'm actually curious, have you ever heard sermons on the walls of Jericho or lion's den? We got one, couple. It's not stuff we go to, and yet, when I think back to Sunday school, that's the story I remember. I remember these stories. They're burned into my memory. You're talking about Charlie talking about the lions eating Daniel. I was imagining the teeth and the den. And it makes sense because as children, you know, you want to scare them into faith. Why on earth would we teach this story to kids, let alone forget about teaching it to adults? You know, it's not like adults find themselves in particularly terrifying situations. Situations when we feel most alone. Situations that we wonder if God's presence is actually there. Situations when we doubt our faith is going to hold out. Before we get into any of that, though, we dismiss these stories because of their historical and their fantastical distance. The history of Daniel's an interesting one. Valerie shared a little bit of that. The story was written during the Babylonian exile, and this book is a mixture of story and prophecy, images and judicial texts, a mixture of languages, both Hebrew and Aramaic. And all of that, though, in this mixture of what it was comprised of, it has one constant theme. No matter the circumstances, God will protect you. In fact, if you, depending on which Bible you read, and if I think most of our pew ones or our personal ones might leave out the Apocrypha, there's an interesting apocryphal story called Bel and the Dragon. And Bel and the Dragon makes this point clear. It actually retells the story of Daniel, and it sweeps in a deus ex machina. Everybody knows Habakkuk, the prophet. Just not along. So this prophet comes along and saves Daniel by bringing food for Daniel. I don't know what Daniel did with the food. It actually says he ate it and didn't share with the lions. Again, I'm not going to get into the storytelling aspect, but it's a whole nother time it's told in the Bible, and we just sort of pretend it doesn't exist. But in this time of exile, the Jewish people feared the loss of their identity. Most of all, they worried if they assimilated with the culture that a part of themselves would die. During this time, many practiced their faith in secret, quietly sharing the foundational stories of Abraham and Moses when they were around table as family, and they would tell how God was faithful throughout all of history. For many, hiding their faith meant losing a part of themselves, a part of their hearts. We see the same fears on the faces of new immigrants that come to Canada or the U.S., ones that fear that if they assimilate completely, they lose a piece of who they are. Their struggles in finding the balance between holding on to one's faith and beliefs and dealing with a different culture. Daniel found this middle ground. He managed to serve the foreign, the Persian king, while still practicing his faith. He prayed openly, prayed blessings and thanks to God, knowing how he wished life was different. He worked for the king, and yet allowed his faith to inform his cultural responsibilities. It wasn't an easy balancing act, no different than ours. But for Daniel, it made more sense than pretending everything was okay. At this point in the story of Israel, nothing was going right. They were separated from their promised land, separated from their places of worship, and the stories of Daniel and his faith would offer hope and would stand as a reminder that faith sustains, even in the midst of death. Historically, while this story is far from our experiences, and I almost fell into it right at the beginning of the sermon, We can let our childlike wonder run away from us with this. If you close your eyes, you can imagine the darkness of the cell. If we were locked away with Daniel, we'd be able to smell his fear. Or better yet, we'd be overwhelmed by the smell of that room. Imagine these lions, these majestic beasts, kept hungry and locked away so that anything and everything before you, that you put before them would be devoured. And if the lions didn't get you, the smell would. These weren't free-range lions let out to do their business. This was not somewhere you would want to spend an entire night, let alone a few minutes. But we don't need to imagine ourselves to be Daniel to remember a time that we've faced an impossible task, something we ourselves or others have said to be our undoing, something that threatened our very existence, where the threat of failure was as close as lion's breath on the back of Daniel's neck. Maybe you're in the midst of a lion's den right now. As one preacher said, there comes a time in quite a few people's lives where they find themselves in their own lion's den. Maybe they lost their job and they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Maybe they lost everything and now they're on the street. Maybe they've become addicted to something that they cannot let go of. Maybe they're diagnosed with a serious illness. Maybe there's worries over what comes next, long before worries about death or worries about cares and housing and the many days and nights worrying about how to exist. Maybe they just lost someone close to them. Usually at some point, all of us find ourselves there. We never asked to be put in that metaphorical den, but somehow or another, we find ourselves sealed in, face to face with the lions. Thinking of your life, can you name those lions for yourself right now? The lions that are a very real threat to your existence. Those lions keep you up all night praying, hoping things might be different. Every time there's a change, albeit a small one, we get a surge of adrenaline and we sharply inhale. The lions come in all shapes and all sizes. The lions of mental health claw and scratch at the doors of our minds, threatening relationships and employment, or for some lie heavy like animals upon our chest, preventing us to live the lives we wish we could. The lions of mental health are so varied and vicious that many in our world struggle under the weight of them. These lions, if not kept in check, will be our undoing. There's a comic artist that I love. He works out of Toronto, and he writes under the name Lunar Baboon. You may not have seen his stuff before, but I really, really like it. I'm drawn to his comics because there's an honesty about his work that is refreshing as he struggles with the lions that he faces in his own den. In a recent comic, he and his partner are pictured sitting on the couch. And you can see the many dens that he finds himself in. There's a few thought bubbles above his head. One says, "Death, death, death." Another says, "Work, work, work." Food, sex, money, all of them are up there. Those dens in which he finds himself, the ways that he has felt locked in. His partner offers to flip the switch on his head, to turn off his brain. Offers to free him from his lion's den, free him from the worries and stress, and finds that when she goes looking on the side of his head, there's no off switch, it's just on and on. And he wonders aloud if he's broken. It starts to feel that way. That we're somehow broken when we cannot extricate ourselves from our lion's den. That we cannot save ourselves. And I guess that's why I love the story of Daniel. There's no dramatic resolution as Daniel breaks forth from his prison, riding a lion like some magical king. There's none of that. He's freed. He's set free. Because the king liked Daniel very much. And like the partner who tries to hit the off switch on her partner's head, he's freed because of his patience and trust and faith in God. He's freed because those in his life were able to help him deal with those lions. The lions weren't his. The lions that you're facing aren't yours. We might be stuck with them. We may have to make peace with them. We might have to find ways to coexist, but they're not our own. They don't follow Daniel around. They don't show up again in any story. Rescuing and saving are not Daniel's efforts. It's the relationships he's made with God and with the king that open up the den. It's the deep faith that Daniel holds in his heart that gives him the patience to endure. It's the trust that he has in God that rescue might come. And this speaks both to the Israelites held captive in Babylon and us, held captive by the mental and physical and financial and health stresses that lock us away and threaten our lives. It's the love that the king and Daniel shared that opens the door to new life. It's a shame that we leave these stories to Sunday school to talk about. Because we lose a piece of our own understanding of where we fit in this story as we age. Because I can tell you what we're afraid of may change as we age. But never the fact that we know that God is on our side. Never the fact that to know that God encourages us and comforts us and surrounds us in spite of whatever we're facing. So that in the midst of whatever lion's den you find yourself, may you be blessed by the hope of this passage. May you have faith enough to believe you are worth saving. That God sees your struggle, your worries, your stresses, your lions. And God knows they're not yours. Not yours to endure alone. May you be blessed with faith enough. And may you be blessed by those who can open up the door for you. Those willing to risk their reputation, their love, to save you. May you be blessed by those two things, because by faith and by love, we are saved. Amen.